Yesterday's podcast was so nice, we decided to do it twice. Actually, that's what we do every week. Just like every week, you guys should go to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code FEAST to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. Plus, they got this new pick'em thing. They got players in 8 different tiers. Makes it even easier for you to actually do your draft, which we're all into easy. That's what we do. That's promo code FEAST to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest is totally free to enter. So why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings. It's the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We love this podcast. We do it twice because we got to break down every game and not make either podcast too ginormous. And we don't want to mess up your podcast apps either. He's the star. We all know that. Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter, from Roto World. We are presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast. Best odds, fast payouts. Yesterday, like we typically do, we went through every 1 o'clock game and the Thursday night game, but the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. Now we will get to all of the late games and the Sunday nighter and the Monday nighter. Nobody does a more thorough, in-depth breakdown of the fantasy football players and matchups each week than my boy Evan Silva. I'm the former NFL offensive lineman, Ross Tucker, loving fantasy. I whooped that you-know-what on Sunday in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. What? So I am eating, baby. You know what I'm eating? I'm eating some lovely, delicious lantana hummus. Absolutely love it. I like dips. I like things you can stick things in. I'll just keep moving. Just keep it moving. Anyway, lantana hummus is an awesome snack for game day. Absolutely perfect. I even just got one of you guys emailed me your screenshot of or picture of a couple of the lantana hummus lids that you got. It's amazing. Look for the hummus with the striped lids in the deli. I guarantee it's the best tasting, most flavorful hummus you've ever had. Legitimately, tweet me or email me if you come up with a hummus that tastes better than lantana hummus. If you want to make sure you know where it is around you, go to lantanafoods.com to find lantana hummus at a grocery store near you. Let's start with the late games, Evan, in Los Angeles. The Chargers on a short week going against the Dolphins, who we haven't actually seen them play yet. Let's start there. The Chargers DNs, Bosa, Ingram, as advertised. What do you got in this game?
Yeah, love Melvin Gordon here. Should get a ton of work against the Dolphins, who we talked about. It looks like Ray Maaluga is going to be their starting middle linebacker. We'll see. We should figure that out a little bit, or we should figure that out later in the week. But it looks like they're going to start him, and then they're starting the rookie Devon Godshaw, playing in his first NFL game, fifth-round rookie. We'll be playing next to Ndamukong Suh. So definitely like an alley right up the middle there a running game should be able to exploit. And we saw Melvin Gordon get, you know, again, a lot of passing game usage in week one. And he ripped up the Dolphins when they played last year. So love him. He should be, I think he will be one of the highest owned running backs this week in daily fantasy. And he deserves to be. Like the Chargers defense, you know, I think that Jay Cutler looked pretty good in the preseason, but he's still Jay Cutler. You know, we got a pretty good sample size here on Jay Cutler, and he's very capable of a complete implosion, three interception game or something like that, going on the road, going all the way across the country to play his first game, of the season. I like the Chargers defense as a streamer for sure. You mentioned the Bengals. they're an awesome one. I mentioned the Bucks, and I also like the Chargers. At wideout, Keenan Allen, I think he has a chance at a huge game. This is a Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, all in awesome spots against the Dolphins. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to beat this matchup. This defense is not good, especially in the secondary. And they will get exploited all year because they are poor at one safety spot and both cornerback, all three cornerback spots, really. So, like all of those, all the Chargers passing game members, and then with the exception of the tight ends, I mean, Hunter Henry played 39% of the Chargers snaps in week one and didn't catch a pass. You cannot use him in fantasy. And you may even want to consider dropping him. I would probably hold on because I think that there will be better games ahead, but that also forces you to roster two tight ends, which is far from optimal. So, you know, just you kind of put yourself in a bind when you draft a backup tight end like Hunter Henry. Antonio Gates is, you know, they still need to get him the record. They need to get him the tight end touchdown record. He's tied right now with Tony Gonzalez. And he's one to get past him. So he is someone that we should be looking at in daily fantasy beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, and there's really nothing to fear about the Dolphins from like a tight end coverage standpoint. So on the Dolphin side, this is not going to be easy for them. You know, these cornerbacks for the Chargers are awesome. Didn't see Manny Sanders or Demaryius really hurt him, you know, even to the extent that Benny Fowler wound up having a big game. And Benny Fowler does play a lot in the slot, so that could potentially bode well for Jarvis Landry. But this is far from an optimal matchup for Devontae Parker or Kenny Stills. And then Jay Ajayi is a volume play, you know, regardless of situation. He's going to be the focus of the Dolphins offense. Julius Thomas, you know, I don't know what he's got left in the tank. You know, I'm not too into him. We'll put it that way.
Let's get to the Jets and the Raiders. Impressive win for the Raiders. I thought Marshawn Lynch looked pretty good, especially it's pretty rare to see a guy run over a D lineman, especially Jarrell Casey. Your thoughts on Jets Raiders?
Yeah, he's still got some juice, man. He's still got some explosion and burst and power, and you know he wants to do it over and over and over again. So you know I wish he would have played a little bit more, but you know they're going back. This is a strong narrative street thing here, and I mean I really believe in the narrative street stuff with guys like Gates, who we just talked about, and with guys like Marshawn Lynch. This is their home opener, and you know the beast is ready. And he's going to score a touchdown this week. So, I mean, he's a great, you know, you play him everywhere, man. I think Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree should both run all over and all around the Jets secondary, and Derek Carr can light it up. I mean, it's just all systems go for the Raiders. Even their defense, I think, is worth a look this week. They're going to put the Jets in you know, non-optimal game script. I mean, they're favored by two touchdowns against the worst team in the NFL, which is traveling all the way across the country. You know, like I want to start Giorgio Tavecchio this week. I want Raiders in fantasy. Jared Cook also. I mean, he's worth a look. I mean, I would start him over Hunter Henry right now. You know, he's playing more than Hunter Henry, and he's a big part of the Raiders passing game. So I'm excited about the Raiders, and ask me if we should start any Jets this week.
Should we start any Jets this week?
No.
Okay. Let's then get to Dallas and Denver. Both teams coming off of a win, one of the better late games. What do you got in Dallas and Denver, Evan?
Yeah, awesome game. You know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to go to Denver and have big fantasy games. I thought Dak played awesome against the Giants, though, in week one. You know, didn't light it up from a fantasy perspective. But, I mean, he's just really, really good. You know, there is no question about that. It was evident during his rookie preseason. It was evident during his entire rookie regular season. And it is not a fluke. I mean, he's a really, really good player. You can sort of hang your hat on that and the fact that Phillip Rivers had three touchdowns in Denver in week one, although it wasn't like Phillip Rivers really lit it up. But, you know, just there are reasons to be optimistic, even in this difficult matchup. You know, with that said, like, I don't know. I mean, read my column on Thursday. I will have all that parsed out. Like, you know, what guys would I maybe consider playing over Dak Prescott? But right now I would have him penciled in. He's really good at the football. It's going to be difficult for Dez, you know, but we did see a bunch of Chargers wide receivers score touchdowns against the Broncos on Monday night. And, you know, there's no Wade Phillips there anymore. And, you know, the defense is not entirely as stout as it used to be, especially up front. And I expect Ezekiel Elliott to exploit that. You know, Dez is kind of a scary start. And there are season-long leagues where I will be starting him this week, and there will be season-long leagues where I'm benching him this week. But, I mean, I think you have to have a pretty strong option that you feel pretty comfortable in terms of the player's talent and the player's usage and the player's matchup, because Dez is so good. I mean, he had a ton of opportunities against the Giants. It's just Janoris Jenkins has the dude's number. And Jason Witten, I think, is very much in play. Again, you know, Dak Prescott targeted Witten more than any player on the team in the preseason, and Jason Witten stayed very, very involved against the Giants. Broncos do not have great tight end coverage historically. And then on Denver's side, you know, I know that the Cowboys defense looked good in week one. However, I think that Giants offense just stinks. I mean, no one in the offense is good, like legit no one. And, I mean, I think they have like two decent offensive linemen. And beyond that, I mean, they don't have any good players, certainly not without Odell Beckham. So, I want to see more from Dallas's defense, but annually that is an overachieving group because of the magician that is Rod Marinelli. But with that said, I mean, you know, no fear starting Demaryius, no fear starting Manny Sanders. Simeon is a two quarterback league option. CJ Anderson got a lot of work. Jamal Charles looked pretty good on his touches, but it looks like CJ Anderson's backfield right now, and they're going to try to take it easy a little bit on Jamal Charles. But you know, no fear starting CJ Anderson right now. And then, you know, they don't really have much at tight end. Oh, I guess we got to talk about Benny Fowler. Just leave him on the waiver wire.
Curious to get your thoughts on the Redskins and the Rams, because Pryor had some drops, and even though the Rams were lighting up the Colts, Todd Gurley still wasn't effective.
Yeah. and then I see, you know, Brian Baldinger, who, and I mean, I thought that for a while, that Todd Gurley just doesn't look the same. And Brian Baldinger was saying it too. And Brian Baldinger, you know, no one studies the tape as much as Brian Baldinger. So, and I have a lot of respect for his opinion. He puts the time in for sure. He just, you know, doesn't have any special qualities anymore. But he's going to be useful in fantasy because he's going to get a lot of work. I don't think that there's any real danger of him losing touches at this point. If you sort of suspect that there might, the next guy to look at will be Malcolm Brown, a second-year undrafted free agent out of Texas. He's not terrible. I own him in one deeper dynasty league. But, you know, he would be the name to keep in mind. But, I mean, you're using Todd. He got a ton of receiving work, and that is going to help. You know, that's a way to get him in space. But he's not the special player that he was coming out of Georgia. Cooper Kupp, you know, Aguilar lights up the Redskins in the slot. The Redskins got slaughtered in the slot all last year. And then we see Aguilar have the best game of his career against the Redskins in week one. And now they're taking on Cooper Kupp, who is the Rams' number one receiver. So Cooper Kupp, he's a fantasy starter. Sammy Watkins, a little concerned about him. Should be noted that Josh Norman did not shadow Alshon Jeffrey all over the field in week one. I don't know why they wouldn't do that this week. I mean, I know that they do have a lot of they like Bashaud Breeland, you know, and so they don't want to like disrespect Bashaud Breeland. But you know, I guess I would be kind of surprised if we did not see Norman chase Sammy Watkins. Although, based on week one, you know, maybe we shouldn't be surprised. So I don't know. I'm not a big Sammy Watkins guy in general. Jared Goff played well, you know, against the Colts. I want to see him do it against a decent defense. I would say that the Redskins are closer to a decent defense, although they're not all the way there. But hey, you know, you can only beat up on what's in front of you, and Jared Goff accomplished that, and I think that he's a two quarterback league starter at this point. Didn't get very much from the tight ends, which was not surprising. Robert Woods made a play. It looks like Rams are getting Aaron Donald back this week, I believe. He has not practiced once in the new defense, has he? I mean,
no.
Yeah. So we'll see how much he even plays. You know, they're like, I mean, I think he'll essentially play the same position, but they're technically in a 3-4 defense now under Wade Phillips. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know if we should say, oh, you know, now this is a defense to fear. I don't think that the rest of the defense is that great, but they do have a great coordinator and they're getting back a great player. But, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is a very solid fantasy start this week. Rob Kelly really disappointed me in week one. I thought that he would be more successful, but you know, that's what you get for betting on players that just aren't that great. And Rob Kelly fits into that category. Chris Thompson, you know, that he's going to do that from time to time, make a big play like that. Dude can run like the wind. He's going to be on the field a lot. He's going to lead the Redskins backfield in snaps played this season. The wideouts, yeah, Terrell Pryor, he, you know, since he joined the Redskins, he's been leaving yards on the field with drop passes, and it stinks because I think he has good hands. I mean, he only had 6 drops on 140 targets last year in Cleveland, so it's probably just a bump in the road, but, you know, it stinks in the short term for sure. I would not be afraid to use him in the least bit. The opportunity is there. He's got a good quarterback. He is an awesome talent. I think that he will get it figured out. It's just, you know, been kind of like a slow learning curve for him. Jamison Crowder did not play the slot last week. I'm a little bit concerned about his health. Ryan Grant was the Redskins slot receiver. I don't have a strong opinion right now yet on Jamison Crowder, but I will have a stronger one in my Thursday matchups column. Jordan Reed looked fine to me, but he was going up against one of the best tight end defenses, you know, against Philadelphia. So, but he caught 5 passes. I think that he will have much bigger games ahead.
How about San Francisco and Seattle? Really disappointing offensive performances for both those teams on Sunday.
Yeah, agree. I don't. You know, just every single player on the 49ers is in a tough spot. So all you have to bank on is, like, projected volume for Carlos Hyde and Pierre Garçon. And other than that, I mean, there's really nothing to talk about there. The Shanahan effect has not taken hold yet. That was a team, by the way, that I thought would have a decent offensive line this year. And they got dump trucked by the Panthers. I mean, they couldn't pass protect. You know, I'm going to have to reevaluate how I view them. And then this is going to be another ugly one for them. And then on the other side, yeah, so, oh man, it was so bad for them. I mean, there are plays where the offensive line is still standing in place and there are multiple Packer defensive linemen swarming Russell Wilson. You know, it's really, really bad. With that said, that's a road game. And last year, or I'm sorry, over the Seahawks' last 8 or 10 road games, they have averaged 15 points per game. Over their last 10 home games, they've averaged 30.1 points per game. So I think that just playing at home really helps those guys. And I think that facing, you know, the 49ers, not a great defense, definitely not, you know, not a bad defense, I don't think. I think they're going to be a lot better this year. But, you know, no Reuben Foster. He had been an impact player in the preseason in his limited snaps in week one. But, you know, this is – I think that we see Russ bounce back. Doug Baldwin is another guy who has crazy home road splits over the past 2 years, averages well over 80 yards per game at home over the past – you know, since the beginning of the 2015 season, and then only about 50 yards per game on the road. Jimmy Graham just did not play well week one. And I think that he will bounce back. You got to win, man. You got to, when you get opportunities, you got to win. And Jimmy Graham did not win in week one. Paul Richardson was the clear number two receiver over Tyler Lockett. Paul Richardson tied with Jimmy Graham for the team lead at 7 targets. What really screwed the Seahawks in week one was the fact that they ran the fewest offensive plays in the entire NFL in week one. They ran 49 offensive plays. And so no one is going to do well in fantasy when you don't even have the ball.
What about the night game and Sunday night? And that's Atlanta and Green Bay. Neither one of those offenses really, you know, lit it up on Sunday, but they both got the win and they both did enough to get the win.
I mean, huge total. They played twice last year. They scored over 60 combined points in both of those games. You just fire everyone. You fire everyone. And the guy who stands out to me as the best DFS play is Ty Montgomery. I don't even think that we need to talk about this one. It's going to be a barn burner shootout, and you want exposure to this game in every form of fantasy.
Okay, and then let's get to Monday night, Evan. It's the Lions who, wow, Stafford and your boy Galladay against the Giants who, wow, for a different reason, they were pathetic on Sunday night. What do you got on this game?
Just the Giants' offense is just dreadful. You know, I think we're going to have to go back to what we had last year, which was throwing slants to Odell Beckham and hoping that he takes it to the house. I mean, I don't see any reason to not think it's going to be like that. You know, I think Brandon Marshall is close to done. I think that Eli Manning is done, at least behind this offensive line. I mean, he's just, you know, he used to be like one of the most poised quarterbacks in the league. They went to that year that they won the Super Bowl last, they didn't have a great offensive line. Or I don't know. I could be mixing that up. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. They didn't. 2007, okay. They had an awesome offensive line.
Yes.
By 2011, it was very average.
Yes, that's exactly right. They had an awesome offensive line for the first one and a very average, maybe even below average one for the second one. But this offensive line, I mean, it's trash. I mean, and you wrote about it in your piece on, I think it was Sports on Earth, right?
Yeah, well, what's really – I mean, I can't imagine being a fan of them. They literally did nothing. And usually I'm a believer in continuity and chemistry, but that's when you have good players and you let them continue to play with each other because they did nothing. I mean, if I were a Giants fan, I'd be going – I was about to say ape. I'd be going ape poopy right now. I'd be going ape poop if I were a Giants fan. Crazy. Well, let's just move on to the Lions because I find them more interesting actually.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we saw that Zach Zenner was inactive before the game, and so I was like, ooh, that could really help Ameer Abdullah. because I thought that Zenner would be like the number three back. But what they did is they used Dwayne Washington. I mean, Dwayne Washington got like red zone work, got scoring position work. He didn't score any touchdowns, but you know, that was concerning. I mean, it just looks like it's going to be the same old with Ameer Abdul. I love him as a player, but he's just never been good in fantasy because of the way that, you know, Theo Riddick just sucks all the value away from him. And then when they're using a third back, you know, that hurts him. He's not a good fantasy play against the Giants. Theo Riddick will be. Theo Riddick has, you know, the more stable role. He's going to catch a ton of passes every week. And he is a PPR flex starter. The matchups for the receivers are very going to be very difficult. And I think that the one that you can hang your hat on is with Golden Tate, just because those guys have so much chemistry together. I mean, Stafford and Tate have, you know, a special level of, like, you know, it's like Brady and Edelman, or, you know, Brady and Welker or whatever. I mean, not to that level, obviously, but it's that sort of connection and that bond that even when the matchup looks tough, man, I mean, Golden Tate is going to be a great fantasy play every time. I hope that we can see a little bit more from Eric Ebron. The matchup is always good against the Giants for tight ends. We saw that last week again with Jason Witten, and you know, hopefully this is a game where Eric Ebron can get it going a little bit. He was quiet in week one against a very good historically Cardinals tight end defense, and you know, going up against the Giants, hopefully that will kickstart him. I'm definitely going to be using him where I have him in season long leagues, despite his slow opener.
So much information, Evan. That was amazing. Now we should all take that information and use it on the best app ever. It's the new Draft app. Or you can check it out on your computer or whatever at playdraft.com. It's daily fantasy, but it's snake drafts, and they start drafts all the time. So you can get in one of these snake drafts every couple minutes. All the benefits of best ball, obviously, no trades, no waiver wire. You don't have to worry about injuries and stuff. You're just doing it each week whenever you want. I love, though, that you can play a snake draft pretty much whenever you want, because they've got games starting in minutes. And just do it on the app. It's called the Draft app, or on your computer, playdraft.com. Plus, you get a free entry into one of these when you make your first deposit, but you got to use my promo code FEAST. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code FEAST on your first deposit on Draft. Several of you have already done this and sent me emails telling me how much you love it, so that's cool. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code FEAST. That'll do it, by the way. For the second episode this week, we've got you totally locked and loaded. Evan's matchups for every single game. Hope you guys kick some butt this week in your season-long league, in your best ball leagues, in your daily leagues, whatever it is that you do. And while you're doing it, download us multiple times on multiple devices, or just give us an iTunes rankings or comment. It helps. We appreciate it. I think we're done here. I'm full.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, "Honey, I need to get a new car," I said, "TrueCar," because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoe's. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.